This is the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast brought to you by Art Wiederman, CPA with Ide Bailey. Whether it's taxes and investing or planning wisely, Art is the expert to make your dental practice profitable. At Ide Bailey, what inspires you inspires us. We provide a suite of accounting and advisory services dedicated to the total care of your practice. Visit our website to access our tools and resources tailored for dentists, idebailey.com/dentist. That's idebailey.com/dentist. This podcast is distributed with the understanding that Art Wiederman, CPA, and Ide Bailey, LLP are not rendering legal, accounting, or other professional advice. Listeners should consult with their business advisors before acting on any of the information or opinions shared. If you have questions and or feedback, make sure to email Art over at awiederman@idebailey.com. That's A-W-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N at E-I-D-E-B-A-I-L-L-Y.com. You can also give Art a call at 657-279-3243. Without further delay, here's your host, Dental CPA Art Wiederman.
And hello, everyone. And welcome to what I'm going to call a really cool edition, and I don't think I've ever said that in 6.5 years, of the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast with Art Wiederman, CPA. I'm your host, Art Wiederman. I am a dental division director for the CPA firm of Ide Bailey. And I have been wanting to cover this topic for a long time, and I have the perfect guests to do it. So when I started in dentistry in the mid-1980s, they had the entry of an intraoral camera that was probably about as big as your living room. And then they brought in CAD CAM in the 90s, and technology has gone and gone and evolved and evolved. And then this thing called artificial intelligence showed up, and everybody was thinking, wow, that sounds really neat. That sounds really cool. Well, artificial intelligence is here in dentistry. And my guests today from a company called Trust AI have a computer program, and their friend Isaac, who is the name of the computer program, that does unbelievable things regarding case presentation, diagnostic capabilities, just incredible stuff. And we are actually going to do a little demo for you of a patient with a root fracture, and we're going to let you see how this works. So I'm really excited about having my guests, Bernard Case and Dr. Devian Patel, come on. They will come on in a moment. First, I want to let you know that if you are looking for a dental CPA, you got a bad result from tax season, which just ended about a month or two ago. We're here for you. We are living and breathing dentistry 7 days, well, not 7 days a week. Let's just say 5 days a week. 7 days a week during tax season, but 5 days a week now. And if you need a dental CPA or you need some help understanding your numbers of your practice, we're here for you at Ide Bailey. Call me at 657-279-3243 or A. Wiederman, that's A-W-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N at IdeBailey.com. My partners in this 6.5 year journey, Decisions in Dentistry, Lorraine Kent and her team, they have the best clinical content in their magazine of anybody in the country. 140 CE classes at a very reasonable price. Please go to www.decisionsindentistry.com. We will also keep you posted on our Business of Dentistry webinar series, which will be continuing this fall. And we will have three more. And when the Trump administration and Congress come out with a new tax law, we will be all over that and be doing webinars, and we'll let you know about that.
Be sure to check out our new Ide Bailey podcast, Ebb and Flow, a business podcast providing inspired insight on issues and trends the middle market faces. Hear unique business stories, get answers to frequently asked and unasked questions, and understand business topics that matter to you. Available now on your favorite podcast platform.
And with that said, I want to introduce my guests. Dr. Devian Patel and Bernard Case are the co-founders of Trust AI. And this is a technology company that is bringing artificial intelligence into your dental office. And I cannot wait to have this conversation. Dr. Patel and Bernard, welcome to the Art of Dental Finance and Management.
Thank you so much for having us, Art.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Great to have you today. I watched the video that you sent me, and I'm an older guy, so technology is a little rough. In fact, I always tell my listeners the reason that I have adult children is to teach me about technology. But what you guys have got going on here just absolutely blew my mind. It's incredible. So I want to get into this conversation. Why don't you guys first give us first, Bernard, tell us a little bit about your background.
All right. So I have a PhD in physics. I've been an entrepreneur for almost a decade. I founded and led two VC-backed companies in the fields of AI, autonomous driving, and robotics. I raised $100 million in capital over the years. And in my last company, I deployed AI-powered robots in factories all over the US, from Florida to California. And now these robots are powering more than handling more than 30 million products for customers. And in my past life, I've also been a defense I've been a defense contractor as well.
So Bernard, we have a problem here because you're not allowed to be smarter than the host, and it's obvious that you are. But we'll let you stay on. Dr. Patel, tell us a little bit about your background.
Thanks. So I graduated in 2010 in England as a general dentist. I moved over to California in 2016, where I did a 2-year program to become a dentist here. So over that span, I've owned and operated 8 offices, and I would say I'm somewhat of a super GP. I've dabbled in many of the areas of dentistry, whether it's orthodontics, endodontics, implantology, oral surgery. And what I've learned most is that whilst owning offices, a lot of it is about management of the practice and the efficiency that you have that go with them. And over the years, I've come across, you know, many younger folk that where I was in those positions where they didn't have as much mentorship. So I've been very much heavily involved in mentorship of a lot of junior doctors and seeing kind of where the flaws are, where they need to improve, and what systems and facilities they have in place to kind of accelerate their learning.
Dr. Patel, I will tell you, thank you for mentoring young dentists. I talk to lots of experienced doctors like yourself, and they mentor dentists. And it is something that is just so wonderful. I was mentored as a young accountant, and it was, you can't buy that kind of, learning and stuff like that. So thank you for what you do to help the dental profession. So let's get into this, because there's so much I want to talk to you about. Give us a 35,000-foot view about how artificial intelligence has come to dentistry.
Yeah, great question. So I think at its core, artificial intelligence in dentistry is about giving dentists their time and clarity and their clinical confidence back to them. So Trust AI isn't about replacing a dentist. It's about creating a digital partner that helps you make smarter and faster decisions. In the thick of an office where you have patients that are late, or where there's a complication or a difficult patient, those decisions are what make or break you. So we're talking about diagnosis to treatment planning to case presentation and even documentation. If you assimilate with AI and take it on board, it really allows you to do a lot more in a lot less time. So when we look at the breadth of our profession, we're consistently highest on the suicide list. We're consistently high on substance abuse, consistently high on mental fatigue and burnout. We need something to help us. As insurances are clamping down, as the economy is slowing down, dentists really will suffer unless they take the helping hand of artificial intelligence. So what we envisage is we're creating a second brain that sees everything and remembers everything and knows what to do in pretty much every scenario, but without ever slowing you down. That's our vision.
And a lot of doctors, Dr. Patel, are practicing as single sole practitioners. So they don't have somebody to go to help them. Now they're going to have a new friend, I guess, right?
Exactly. So what you're getting is specialist level care. You're basically having a specialist in your pocket that's able to understand your clinical scenario. So the way you need to talk to Isaac or chat with him on our chat interface is as if you're talking to a professor. So you're consistently over-explaining and giving thorough details, whether it's the medical history, the social history, the clinical scenario. The more detail you give, the more Isaac is allowed to learn about the scenario and then forthcoming tackle the questions you have about the scenario.
We're going to hear about how Isaac came to be and his capabilities in a minute. But first, let's talk about some of the different things your software can help a dentist with. Let's start with diagnostic capabilities. How does that work?
All right. So I can tackle that. For diagnostics, what the AI does, it analyzes all your imaging data. I mean, whether it's x-rays, panel, CBCT scan, intraoral scans, but it provides a clinically rich narrative. If you think about if you look around and think about the software that exists today for diagnostics, when what they are essentially, I mean, they are visual aids. I mean, they'll tell you there's a there are restorations here, there are caries, but that's pretty much what they'll tell you. Now, if you look at a software like Isaac, When it looks at an X-ray, it will basically start describing it. It will tell you something like the patient has multiple restorations on 7 visible teeth with mild generalized horizontal bone loss, averaging 1 to 2 millimeters, consistent with early periodontal changes. It's going to tell you the most critical finding is a compromised PFM crown margin on tooth 14. It will tell you this restoration exhibits a mesial ditch margin and foot trap potential. And it will sort of go on. It will take a look at it like it will take a look at it as if it was actually a dentist. I mean, it will give you a dentist, a specialist level clinically rich narrative about your imaging data.
In the video that you guys sent to me to review, which again was absolutely fascinating, there was a case regarding I think it was Dr. Patel, someone getting hit in the mouth with a baseball, I think it was?
Yeah.
This case came from another doctor. He's based in Massachusetts. It's a DSO model, and they have around 10 offices. They employ brand new grads. And his role is to provide mentorship. So he consistently gets text messages, photos, voice notes about clinical scenarios. So he sent this to me. And I looked at this case and thought, you know, this is a very interesting case. I gave this case, it was a middle third root fracture from a patient that had a trauma from a baseball. And I gave this case to 10 dentists. 8 out of the 10 dentists immediately went to extraction. And the 2 that didn't respond or didn't commit to an answer, they said they'd refer the case. So there was a very interesting case.
Very interesting. Well, again, we actually might have a little bit of a demonstration here in a little bit.
Even from a diagnostic standpoint, I mean, there are no software today that can actually do that on the market.
Yeah, it was fascinating listening to that video that I reviewed and getting ready for this podcast. So first of all, let's talk about Isaac. How did you come up with the name Isaac, first of all?
It's because I, first of all, we gave him a British accent, thanks to Dr. Patel. And then when I thought about, well, how do I name, who's the famous British person that I know? And I thought about Isaac Newton, and I was like, great, then let's name the Isaac.
I
also thought about Isaac Asimov. And it was like, well, yeah, that's a perfect name, and that's not a common name as well. So it's a name that people will actually remember.
I mean, after listening to Isaac for a little bit, it seems like he's got a database of knowledge on dentistry that would make the creators of the Encyclopedia Britannica proud. I mean, so how did you build all of his capabilities? Talk about how you built this incredible artificial intelligence product or tool, if you will.
Yeah, so I won't get into sort of the nitty-gritty detail, but I'm going to tell you sort of in general how we build those models. I mean, those type of AI or models are called specialized model. The model that you're used to hearing about, models like ChatGPT, Claude, Gemini, these are what we call foundation models. So foundation models, they have a sort of infinite knowledge, and they know everything from poetry to physics. When we build a specialized model, and these are what we call vertical AI, we extract very, very specific knowledge. We build a specialized model that's tailored for a very specific niche. So people will build model, specialized model for lore, for the medical field, and it's the first time that we've actually built one for dentistry. So essentially, we would train it on dental literature, clinical protocols, real-world studies. I mean, that's the sort of the first step. And then the second step is to inject high-quality proprietary data that's not available in the open. And the third element that you inject is what we call human-in-the-loop reinforcement learning. So essentially, we'll analyze every conversations, whether it's text or voice conversations, and then provide, and both AI and humans would be providing feedback to the machine. So once it gets feedback, it gets better over time. It's like a little bit like injecting a lot of dentist instinct in this very specialized model. I mean, that's what literally differentiates also them from a foundation model. Like a foundation model, the analogy that I like to use is, for instance, if you were to give me, I mean, if you had the power to give me infinite knowledge today, you give me, let's say you had the power to do that and you give me infinite knowledge and you gave Dr. Patel infinite knowledge. And the question I would ask is, which one would be the better dentist? Is it me or Dr. Patel? If we both had infinite knowledge, and the answer is it will still be him, even though I had infinite knowledge. It's simply because he has there is this experience that you gain over time that's not in the open, that you can't really learn. They have that instinct, and this is the type of instinct that we are building in this very specialized model. We're trying to embed these types of instincts so that we make them the best dentists in the world. At the same time, we differ. This is how they differ from foundation models. Like foundation models will get better. They'll become on the Oracle side. I mean, they'll become better, but they won't have that human in the loop reinforcement learning feedback. And then the other attribute that you embed are very specialized tool, like specialized vision algorithms on top of that, like tool access, like Isaac has access to email, text, internet. Plus on top of that, it has what we call very specialized prompt engineering embedded. It's like characteristics that we embed. So we embed like 5,000 lines of code so that it really develops the dentistry instinct.
So pretty much anything in dentistry, Isaac can handle. So if a hygienist was trying to explain a root planing procedure, Isaac could do that, right?
Yes. Exactly. And there are people who ask all sorts of questions, like from what I would say the basic questions, like people would ask, well, stuff like, what is the treatment for peri-implantitis? Like, what should a new patient appointment include? I mean, those I would consider as sort of basic questions. And then it can answer anything from what I would consider to be basic. And then they can sort of, they ramp in complexity. Like they'll say, what is the recommended antibiotic protocol based on the literature for an all-NX upper-lower procedure? And also, it would tackle much more complicated cases as well. Like if you say, I have a patient in my chair who has high blood pressure and diabetes and A1C level is about 10, I'm wondering if I can do surgery on the patient today and what type of precautions do I need? Or you can say, well, I have a patient now that has a possible amyloblastoma, and I'm concerned about the best approach for management. What would you recommend? Would you recommend like surgical excision and reconstruction? Like, what are the risks? What's the success rate? So also we've gotten all sorts of questions on the platform. And Isaac will have been, has been flawless in answering all of those.
Again, we're going to hear from Isaac shortly. Let's talk about, one of the main things that a dentist does with a patient is to create a treatment plan. So obviously, at the end of the day, it's the dentist's skill and judgment that's going to dictate what they recommend to a patient. But how does this technology help a dentist create a personalized treatment plan?
Yeah, great question. One of the big fears a lot of people have with AI is that it can be very predictable and repetitive in nature and question back and forth. One of the key things you have in dentistry, especially modern dentistry, is that every patient is different. They all come with a set of different circumstances. So this is the power of Isaac. Isaac is able to look more than just what's presented, i.e. the x-ray or the teeth. He's able to take the whole patient into consideration. And so those factors may include age, risk factors, medical conditions, aesthetic goals, clinical findings or radiographic findings. Then it then presents a treatment hierarchy based on predictability. And that could include invasiveness, cost effectiveness, and long-term outcomes. And it doesn't really just stop there. It also generates patient-friendly language. So whether you're presenting a staged perio plan for a simple case or even a more complex all-on X case, as Bernard just mentioned, you can explain it clearly and confidently. So it helps patients understand why you're recommending a certain path. And this is key to the name, Trust AI. We feel that over the years, as insurances have manipulated the way that dentists have run their practices, doctors being trained in all sorts of different philosophies, having 10 different plans and having 20 different insurances that you take, it accumulates to a lack of trust between the public and the dentist themselves. So that's where we're trying to bring the gap together, where there is more standardization. Now, in the 10 plans, we're not asking for one plan, but there should be maybe two or three which most dentists should have a general consensus over. And we're not trying to force anybody either, but there is a right way and there is a less right way. And that's what we're trying to bring to the table.
So, Dr. Patel, let's talk a little bit about the mechanics of how this is going to work in a dental office. Does it work that we have the assistant and the dentist and Isaac, and they're all standing there? I don't even know what Isaac looks like. I'm sure he's a good-looking guy. But basically, how does a dentist actually use it when the patient is in the chair? Is there a recording that comes? How does this work?
Yeah, good question, yeah. So right now we have a chat version, we have an audio version, and we have a soap note scriber, a generator. So I'll start with the chat version. I won't tell you how I use it because that's biased. I'll tell you how our top users are using it right now. So we have found that the chat version is very, very good for prescriptions. It's actually good for everything, but it's most used for prescriptions, CDT code optimizations, protocols, and how to deal with, believe it or not, HR and staff issues. We're finding many doctors.
Seriously?
Many doctors are using it. You'll be surprised that the actual information being exchanged by now on the chat version. Now, as we move towards the more complex and the more in-depth version with the audio, we're now starting to see more complicated stuff involving soft tissue grafting, implant placement angulations, different implant systems. I think one of the most intricate cases was a friend of mine that wanted to use an Essex retainer and wanted to use her CEREC machine to create a pontic to sculpt the tissue. That's very specific in itself, but she went on one step further to say, I have this CEREC machine, tell me exactly how to use it in this scenario. And that's when he opens the gate and says, well, Sarah, this is what you need to do. You need to make sure your pontic has green colored contact on the model to ensure you have enough tissue sculpting. So it goes really into the depth. And with that, we're also seeing lots of instruction on how to use certain bonding systems, instructions on different talking for different implant systems. So a lot of back and forth on very critical issues in terms of treatment. And then you have the soap note generator, which is newly added. I see some companies out there charge up to, $100 to $400. And the reason they're able to do that is because they're out the gate first, and the doctors are crying out for this. We have so many consultations. We do so much intricate treatment planning. But what happens in our note, we have a basic notice form. One of our advisors is actually a key opinion witness based in Florida, Dr. Stephen Fite, who said that this is something that will really change things. Initially, there were a lot of doctors saying, well, if I follow something that the AI does and it makes a mistake, who's at risk? We're not saying this replaces you. This is someone that you are the pilot. This is your co-pilot. So when it comes to strokes in particular, you can sit there, have the phone on the side, listening to the entire conversation with the patient. And at the end of it, it generates an entire SOAP note. It puts it into doctor standardized gold standard form that it's then easy to manipulate and put onto your PMS system or copy and paste if you use paper. You can print it off, whatever you want to do with it. But then sure, that is your clinical record if you were ever to go to court.
So Isaac, yeah, this, your conversation with the patients, are they're being recorded, and then Isaac, after the fact, is going to say, okay, I've listened to the conversation, I've looked at the x-rays, and this is the treatment plan I'm suggesting. Is that kind of how it works?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It does take, it takes structured input. So it combines a patient medical and dental history with diagnostic analysis and current evidence, and then generate a comprehensive evidence-based treatment plan tailored to each patient. So you can either do that sort of dynamically. I mean, it takes about 5 minutes or so to generate a treatment plan.
Wow. Okay.
Or you can do that after the fact also. I mean, some dentists send a treatment plan. They'll probably tell the patient, well, these are the treatments that I'm actually considering. And then, send it afterwards. Like it doesn't, it could be in real time, but it also could be after, the patient has left the office as well.
Wow. So maybe now be a good time to demonstrate, Isaac. Why don't you take a second while Bernard, while you're doing that, Dr. Patel, tell us a little bit. I want you to give out, tell us about the company, how our listeners can work with you and give out your contact information. Or are you ready?
Bernard, you ready? Or do you want me to?
Yes. I mean, I don't have the exact audio, but I have something else from the other Isaac who asked. I mean, it's just the same thing.
Just want to demonstrate the technology. Yeah, exactly. So give us a little background on this, Bernard, before we play it.
These are dentists having conversations and asking for advice.
Talking to Isaac.
Yeah. Right,
so go ahead and play, and we'll listen for a little bit.
Hello, I'm Isaac, the Trust AI Dental Assistant. How can I assist you today?
Hey, Isaac, I need to make a denture for a patient that does not have any dentures. I'd like to use digital technology, and I'd like to do it in 3 appointments. What would I need to do this?
To create a denture using digital technology in 3 appointments, you'll need to follow these steps. 1, first appointment. Take digital impressions using an intraoral scanner. Capture digital photographs for facial analysis. Record the patient's bite registration digitally. 2, second appointment. Conduct a digital try-in using a 3D printed prototype. Verify fit, aesthetics, and occlusion with the patient. Make any necessary adjustments digitally. 3, third appointment. Deliver the final denture, fabricated using CAD/CAM technology. Ensure proper fit and comfort. Make final adjustments if needed. Do you have any specific questions about the process or the technology involved?
If the patient has no teeth existing, how do I get a good bite record?
For an edentulous patient, you can obtain a good bite record by using the following techniques. Use a wax rim to establish vertical dimension and centric relation. Adjust the wax rim in the mouth to achieve proper lip support and facial aesthetics. Utilize a digital bite registration system to capture the interocclusal relationship accurately. Consider using facial scanning technology to assist in aligning the maxillary and mandibular arches digitally. Would you like more details on any of these techniques?
What would be the name of a digital bite registration technique?
A common digital bite registration technique is using a digital occlusal scanner. These devices capture the occlusal relationship digitally, ensuring precise alignment between the maxillary and mandibular arches. Would you like more information on specific brands or models?
Yes, please.
I'm searching for current literature on digital occlusal scanners right now. This will take a few seconds. Please hold on. Here are some of the latest digital occlusal scanner brands and models used in dentistry. 1. 3-Shape Trios 6. Known for its hyperspectral imaging system, capturing data using white light, fluorescence, and near-infrared technology. It integrates AI-powered diagnostics for enhanced precision. 2. iTero Element 5D. From Align Technology, this scanner is recognized for its advanced imaging capabilities, including near-infrared imaging for
Wait.
I'm here. How can I assist you further?
How can I do a mush bite?
To perform a mush bite, especially for an edentulous patient, follow these steps. Use a soft, moldable material, like a wax rim, or a silicone-based bite registration material. Place the material between the arches and instruct the patient to gently close into their natural resting position without excessive force. Ensure the patient is in a relaxed state and guide them to achieve a natural occlusal relationship. Once set, remove the material and digitally scan it using an intraoral scanner to capture the bite registration. Is there anything else you'd like to know about the mush bite technique?
Is there anything I can do to increase the accuracy of the mush bite?
To increase the accuracy of a mush bite, ensure the patient is seated upright with their head in a natural position to avoid any postural influence on the bite. Verify the vertical dimension of occlusion, VDO, using facial landmarks or a previous record if available. Use an articulating paper to check for even contact distribution after the bite is set, ensuring no premature contacts. Take multiple registrations if needed to confirm consistency. Would you like more details on any of these steps?
All right, so first of all, I want to know, Dr. Patel, that's not you making believe you're Isaac going from office to office to doing this, right?
No, that's not me.
Oh, my God. This is unbelievable. My gosh. And that's how it works. And then they see the patient, and then the dentist is putting a treatment plan together, and they get Isaac's recommendation, and they can actually talk to Isaac like Isaac is a human being, it sounds like.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can have a two-way conversation. And many people don't realize that you can really have a two-way conversation. A lot of people think that it's like, or take Isaac like being a Google, where you ask a question and then you get an answer and then that's it. And they don't probe further. But it's really like Dr. Patel was saying, it's like having a professor next to you. So you can literally ask questions. Like you, it can be a real two-way conversation where you can even challenge some of the things, and it's like you can say, "Well, this procedure is too complicated for me. Can you suggest alternative procedures?"
It can do all that stuff. So, all right. So, guys, tell our listeners a little bit about your company, what you do, and how they can connect with you. And I want you to give out your contact information. I got a bunch of other questions before we wrap up today. But tell us about the company. Tell us how dentists who are listening to this podcast all over the country, or if they're interested in this technology, can get a hold of you.
There is a wait list that they can, that's on our website. Dr. Patel can actually give out a referral code. There's a registration link, but that we have. But I don't know. I don't know if we can actually throw a registration link. I mean, I think that would be the best if we could actually throw one.
But your website is www.trustai, right?
No, trustdentistry.ai.
Trustdentistry.ai.
Yeah, if they go there and get themselves onto the wait list, we'll reach out to them.
Sounds good. So no phone number, just go on to trustdentistry.ai and they'll be able to get onto the wait list.
So our goal was really to democratize clinical excellence. I mean, I think that's what we're all about. It's making that specialist level clinical insight universally accessible to every practitioner. And that's what AI is all about. I mean, we're actually bringing three things to the practice. I mean, when we're bringing AI, we're bringing, first of all, it's knowledge. like knowledge that you would have, like people would have to have access to specialists or CE courses or go to the library to extract that type of knowledge. And now they can have that knowledge. Well, I mean it's ready, it's at hand. And it's hallucination free. Unlike foundation models are tend to hallucinate. So for healthcare, I mean, I'd be careful to rely on foundation models. You actually need to rely on very very specialized model like ours. Simply because for us, we've built these clinical guardrails against hallucinations. So you're confident that whatever our AI is actually telling practitioners, I mean, it's very rock solid. It's not hallucinating. You're not going to go. People are not going to go in and kill patients with the advice.
Of course not. Let's talk about case acceptance, because this is a big problem in dentistry. Dentists a lot of them aren't good at presenting cases. They don't know the verbiage. They don't explain it right. How does your technology help increase case acceptance? Because on my podcast, we're all about making my clients more money, and the more cases they get accepted, the more money they're going to make. So how does that work?
I have a good example, actually. I had my patient coordinator's mum was very concerned about removing an amalgam filling, especially with the slurry creates and mercury. And so I've qualified in both England and America. In England, they use lots of amalgam. And so I asked Isaac in front of the patient, you know, what's the most safest and most efficient way to remove the amalgam? And Isaac went on to proceed to say, well, under the rubber dam, using a charcoal rinse, making sure that you have a high-speed vac. And then the final piece of the puzzle was removing this in a manner where you go around the periphery and cut the amalgam in half. So you're taking out in chunks, or it's called chunking technique. I'd never heard of this. After we removed the one restoration, the patient mentioned to me that, you know, I have three or four others. You know, I'd like you to remove them. So the patient had gone from a scenario where they were anxious to remove a restoration to now saying, well, now that we have an effective and safe manner of removing them, I'd like you to do the other ones. And so just imagine how many patients out there that have been caught up in the mercury / you know, toxicity issue around amalgam removal that have mercury still or amalgam restoration still in their mouth.
Yep.
So this is a great example
of how we can get them to accept more treatment.
Right. Because it looks like we're moving towards that era where patients are seeing AI as a tiebreaker in many of the decisions that they have, whether it's their watch, whether it's their computer, whether it's their phone. Mostly AI is everywhere, just learning on human behavior. And I think we'll get to a point where they will start to place as much trust in the AI as they do in the clinician.
I don't doubt that. This is just absolutely remarkable technology. And again, folks, you all know in this podcast, I get nothing for promoting my guests or talking about what they do, but this stuff is really cool. Now, I know, guys, that Trust AI has this thing called a Trust Score. Software is a tool, but how do you score the recommendations that Isaac makes?
It's based on, well, sort of, TrustScore is mostly applicable when Isaac is making a treatment plan recommendation. Like for every treatment plan, it includes, so it's multidimensional. So it relies on sort of three aspects. It's evidence strength. So it will quantify the depth and quality of clinical research supporting each treatment option. So all the it's going to take a look at what's been done before, across the board, in randomized controlled trials. It's going to look at expert consensus guidelines. It's also going to look at what we call it's going to look at three things. One, the one that I talked about is evidence strength. The second one is what we call case specific confidence. So it analyzes the completeness and clarity of the patient's diagnostic data. So if you if it has a complete set of data, then it will increase the trust score, the confidence that it's providing in its analysis. And then the third one is outcome predictability. So it incorporates historical success rates from published studies. These are weighted by their relevance to the patient's clinical presentation and risk factors. So it takes all of this and then makes a determination. So if I step back, we'll take a look at it and say, do I have a complete set of data? Did the dentist input all the data that I need for me to make a decision? And based on the open literature, it's like how often did a case like this occur, and what were the experts' opinion on things like on scenarios like these? And it's gonna it's gonna take a look at the literature, and based on the success rate of a certain approach, this is where it takes we'll take all this information and say, well, I'm now 85% confidence that you should do X. Like, this is the treatment that I'm proposing, or 90%.
And it'll actually tell you the
yeah, percentage. If you ask it, if you ask it, it is present in our chat, but if you're talking to it also in with voice, you can simply ask what's your confidence level in this treatment option.
And if it's very sophisticated, it's going to be honest and say, well, maybe I'm 65%, but I would think in most cases it's going to be 85, 90 or above, right? I would hope.
Yes, exactly. So it's 85% or above. I mean, there are certain things where you can take an intraoral scan, or you can take, if you take an X-ray that is fuzzy. I mean, let's say you took a picture, an X-ray, when light was from a window was like shining on it, or it's blurry.
Right.
Then its confidence is actually going to go down. It will tell you, well, I'm 20% confidence that there's like a radiolucency or something.
So I think they call that garbage in, garbage out sometimes, maybe. Yeah. So, guys, I want to talk. I want to get a couple more things I want to get to. How does this software work with radiographs and CBCTs, intraoral videos, CAD/CAM? How does it work with all these technologies?
Yeah, good question. So we have a UI, a user interface that's going to be brought out, which is effectively like a PMS system where you're dragging and dropping certain media to analyze. So you mentioned CBCTs. Currently, there is no compass in terms of mapping out three-dimensionally. So what we do is we take JPEGs and analyze different JPEGs of a CBCT. The same could be said for an SDL file. So now you're talking about looking at 3D anatomy and risk mapping. So once you look at SDL files, you're looking at restorative design and occlusion. When you mentioned photos, we've had a lot of people looking at different lesions, different aspects of anterior aesthetics. So essentially, it's able to read a JPEG and make lots of assumptions based on that. So the UI itself brings everything together so that when you're ready to ask questions, Isaac understands a very clinically rich assessment of your case. It's not the example that we gave initially was very much, here's what I want to know. What do you know about that, Isaac? Now, the next level is to say, and you were blown away by that, but the next level is to say, Isaac, before we even have a conversation, learn everything you need to know about this case, because you're going to know more than I do. And then when we have a conversation about that next, his answers are a lot more clinically rich and accurate and pertinent to what you want to ask.
Would Isaac ask for, you know, let's say Isaac gets what they can, would Isaac come back to you and say, hey, Dr. Patel, I need some additional information. Can you provide me X, Y, and Z? Does it do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. So you mentioned the trust core. So if you're meandering down a path that doesn't have enough confidence from the machine, he is going to say, well, I think you need to take a CBCT, or I think you need to take a better radiograph. And he will say that. So in this situation with a fractured root, in that scenario, my friend sent me a photo on the iPhone. He wasn't prepared to commit on the location of the fracture. And the reason being is because our guardrails are 85% and above. And he actually said, I need you to take a high-quality periapical or a CBCT for me to confirm it. And the way that I bypassed it is I said, Isaac, I think this is in the middle third of the tooth. Can we proceed with that? And then he goes on and says, well, because you've made that assumption, we can now talk about the rest of it. But he will not he will not look at a diagnostic image or a photo with low confidence and meander into a phone tree of, well, this is what this means. He will only, it's like a level. You need to get to the level and beat the level to get to the next one. So that score needs to be 85% every single time.
Now, I know that dentists, I got a couple more things for you guys. I know that some dentists just use ChatGPT because a lot of people who are not as sophisticated in artificial intelligence like the two of you are, I mean, AI is associated with ChatGPT. That's a big deal. But some dentists use ChatGPT to do what Isaac does. What's the difference?
Yeah, I mean, that's why I mentioned when you have a very specialized model and a foundation model. I mean, the difference is, well, there are sort of two main differences. One is, I think the most pertinent one is the foundation models are very prone to hallucinate. So they are designed to handle an enormous range of topics from poetry to physics. And that inherently increases the potential for errors. They rely on massive training data sets with varying levels of quality and accuracy. Also, that creates challenges in distinguishing reliable from unreliable information during their training. And the probabilistic nature of also language generation in these foundation models means that they're designed to generate plausible sounding text rather than strictly factual information. Whereas when you look at very specialized model like ours, we are trained on narrower, higher quality domain-specific data sets. We incorporate explicit knowledge verification mechanisms like guardrails. We also have very simpler architectures. We optimize for accuracy over versatility. So it's not going to be ours won't be able to give you advice on financial advice or law, but it's going to be really, really good at giving you advice on dentistry. And also, the fact that we are that narrow, the system itself can be rigorously tested on very well-defined tasks with very clear evaluation criteria. So essentially, it's like, because it's that narrow, it's very specialized. It's specialized, it's narrow, it is hallucination-free. So it will provide you with rock-solid answers for everything that you're asking about dentistry compared to a ChatGPT.
And another important thing other than great case presentation and diagnostics and all this stuff is, and Dr. Patel, I think you mentioned it earlier in our conversation, is that this technology, talk about how it can be a preventative method against malpractice lawsuits.
Right. Right, yeah, absolutely. And as I mentioned, Dr. Stephen Fite was very keen on that. You know, one of the biggest causes of malpractice right now is poor documentation, misdiagnosis, errors in when certain things happened. So Isaac creates an accurate timestamp rationale for every treatment plan. So if you go ahead with it, there's an account for that, a SOAP note. So it shows what was considered, what was ruled out, and why the decision was made. That's kind of like a digital audit, you know, audit trail. This type of thing is invaluable in court. You know, these are your rationale as to why you did something at which time, and if the patient consented to it. If you have something that's automatically doing that and prompting you, we envisage, you know, every patient chart to be almost like, you know, my wife's a family law attorney. When she prepares a brief, you will have a brief automatically created for you, so that if anybody's picked up, you have excellent clinical documentation as to why you did something, how you did something, and if the patient agreed to it.
And I would think, because I have been an expert witness, I have been in depositions, I've been in mediations, I've been in court, not for clinical dentistry, obviously, but on the business side of it. But I would think that an attorney would be able to ask a whole bunch of questions to formulate a defense for the dentist and then use Isaac to come up with a lot of the defense, I would think.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. This is too much fun. Last thing. What other things?
I wanted to add also, it's not just about information itself. It's also about integration. So Isaac is going to be integrated into someone's practice. So it's going to be able to extract information from existing PMS. Like, that integration does not exist with something like ChatGPT. ChatGPT does not and will not integrate with your own PMS system.
I mean, it's cool technology, but it doesn't go anywhere near what your technology does. That's right. Obvious. Right. What other things have we missed that Isaac helps a doctor's off a dentist's office with?
I think I'd like to touch on what we've done has only happened in only 4 months. We had a great meeting with one of our advisors the other day, and Bernard laid forth his roadmap. So what a lot of your viewers don't realize is dentistry is about to change in the next years in a massive way. And if Bernard gets his way, he thinks he's going to change it in 12 months. And what I mean by that is that, you have Jarvis to Tony Stark in Iron Man. What Isaac is going to do, he's going to be able to run multiple facets of your practice. So we're talking right now, we have a co-pilot in the clinical aspect of it. You're going to have someone generating notes. You're going to have someone managing the inventory of your materials. You're going to have someone scheduling the follow-up calls with patients. You're going to have someone building your schedule. You're going to have someone helping you when your staff are ill, filling slots with temporary staff. You're going to eventually have people, Isaac, doing primary interviews. You're going to have all sorts of things happening, because what it does is we've built the brain rather than the eyes or the legs or the mouth. So this is the start of something that's really going to, I feel we're on the cusp of making dentistry good again.
Well, I'll tell you what, guys, I cannot wait to see what your product looks like in a year, 3 years, 5 years. It's probably going to be completely different than what you see it as now.
Yeah.
One more time. Absolutely. How do my listeners get in touch with you if they want to learn more about Trust AI and if they want to meet Isaac? I mean, does Isaac sign autographs? Does he do that? I'd love to see that. And maybe Isaac can get me tickets for the British Open. I mean, can Isaac help me with my golf swing? I'll bet he can.
Perhaps. So I'll go to the email one more time. So it's www.trustdentistry.ai. There is a link there where delegates will simply place their name on a wait list. When we get that, there'll actually be an automatic email to help them sign up. So currently what we have is we have an audio version, which is a very in-depth conversational AI agent. You have a chat version, which is on the desktop. And on the chat version, there is an ability to write any question you want to Isaac and also to record your soap notes.
Well, doctors, I will tell you that we have all kinds of different guests. We have consultants. We have lawyers. We've had the president of the American Dental Association on this podcast. This is the future of dentistry, as Dr. Patel kind of wrapped it up at the end. And, if you haven't embraced it, it's going to run right by you, because this stuff is going to be in every dental office in America, and it's only going to get better. So I would strongly encourage you, and it'll be in the show notes, the website, to get a hold of these guys, let them tell you how they can work with you, because I mean, it can do nothing more than help your practice. And as a dental CPA for 41 years, one thing that we find is that dentists sometimes get bored in doing the same thing over and over again. And this is not boring. In fact, this, if you're in a rut in your dental practice, this could be something that could take you out of the rut, really. I mean, it's really cool. So Dr. Divyan Patel and Bernard Case, thank you so much for your time. Please hang with me as I take the podcast out. Your information was fantastic. It is the first time in 215 plus podcasts that I've actually had a live interview with an AI person, and I thought it was fantastic. So that was really good. Folks, I want to thank you again for the honor and the privilege of your time, the thousands of people that listen to this podcast all over the country. I want to thank you for that. If you need help on your accounting or taxes, or you need a business advisor that understands, the difference between medial and distal, give us a call. 657-279-3243 comes right to my computer, awiederman@idbailey.com. and also Decisions in Dentistry magazine. Please look at their CE courses. These guys are going to be connected with them because their stuff needs to be in their magazine on their website. It's really good stuff. Go to www.decisionsindentistry.com. Dr. Patel and Bernard, thank you so much for taking your valuable time and coming on. And and hang with me as I take this out. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, that is it for this edition of the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast with Art Wiederman, CPA. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss an episode. The Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast is produced by Ide Bailey in partnership with Art Wiederman, CPA, Decisions in Dentistry Magazine, and the Academy of Dental CPAs. For audience questions and feedback, email Art Wiederman, awiederman@idebailey.com. That's awiederman at eidebailey.com. Or you may call Art at 657-279-3243.